Thank you.
Doris.
Now, I must tell you something. I've been playing since I was 3 years old. Whenever I got in the woods, I could always get out.
See? Doris, beautiful. Thanks, honey. Doris. Thank you, honey. 3 years old. 3 years old. She was picking out tunes at three. It's incredible. And during the Depression, her dad somehow scared up 50 cents for her to have piano lessons. And Doris, as a little girl of five, would go across town with a 50-cent piece in her hand, knowing how much that could buy, taking it to a music teacher. Your dad's investment paid off. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Doris Steinhardt, a.k.a. Hot Stuff. Remember that? There you go.
I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer and reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the calluses and lines. Years of work and worry had left their marks behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. There are things that I've forgotten that I loved about the man, but I'll always remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands, hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hand. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again and never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands, soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands, hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hand.
Thanks. That is the picture of Robert Rotrammel in 1929. I met Bob, that's in Chicago, just after the crash. He told me that day there were people screaming and throwing things out of windows, not themselves that day. But that was right around the time of the crash of 29. He became a deacon in the old Mount Zion Church down home in Harrisburg, Illinois. And he came up here to work for General Motors. And one day my friend Gordon Keeler said, there's somebody you got to meet. I was in my 20s. You guys had just asked me to become one of the pastors here. And 1970, it was 79 when I finally met Bob. That old man changed my life. But Bob Rotranville told me a story. Now, you understand, I came out of a fundamentalist background, fundamentalist Baptist background, pretty hard-nosed about everything. Anyhow, I asked Bob what he thought about smoking one time. We were having lunch at the Pied Piper. Do you guys remember the Pied Piper restaurant? He said, "I'll never forget old Jake, the preacher, back home." I said, "Yeah?" He said he was a potato farmer who came to Christ, gave up everything, left the potatoes in the field, bought a suit, and went to preaching. Every year he'd come back for big meeting time, he said. That little Mount Zion church was full, packed to the gills, people standing in the windows to hear old Jake preach. And he said the Spirit of God fell on that building, and most of the group was converted that night. God did a great work. And he said every one of those deacons went off on the back stoop of the church and either lit up or pulled off a plug. And I went out back and I said, "Brother Jake, ain't the Lord good?" And I'll never forget what he said. I said, "What'd he say?" He said, "I'll never forget what he said. It was really something." I said, "Bob, what'd he say?" He said, "Brother Jake said, ain't he?" That's it. He just kind of helped me not take myself so seriously. He's buried up the street. In his last year of life, he said, "In Harrisburg, we used to bury around the church, and they don't let us do that here." He said, "But that little cemetery, I want to be buried on this side of that cemetery, be near the old church here." He was a cool old guy. But you know the thing about him? He was long retired, but he was still looking for somebody to bless and somebody to help. Boy, this little kid preacher that didn't know what in the world he was doing. That old man helped me so much. He was a father to me. And I love my dad. He was a wonderful father to me. But in those years, he wasn't. He was pretty deep in the bottle in those days. And he had just at the time, about the time of meeting Bob, my dad finally quit drinking. He called me up and said, "Thomas, I quit drinking. I haven't had a drink in a month." I said, "What'd they do? Tape your mouth shut?" You know, but yeah. He quit, and it's amazing how it changed his life and the trajectory of his life and all that. But during those years, this young man here just became so important to me. So, there's a lot of old guys in the room today. Hey, listen, keep living your life. Do what Verlin Dawson said. Live till you die. Contribute till you're gone. Don't retire from life. So Toby Keith was asking Clint Eastwood what he was doing. He said, "Well, I've got these movies going. I have these charities we're working," and on and on with his list. And Toby said, "How old are you?" And he's like 89 or something like that. Toby said, "How do you do that?" And Clint said, "I don't let the old man in. Don't let the old man in. I wanna live me some more. Can't let him choose. He's knocking on my door. I've known all of my life one day it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body's withered and worn. Ask yourself how old you'd be if you didn't know what day you were born. Try to love on your wife and stay close to your friends. Toast the sun down each night. Don't let the old man in."
ask yourself how old you'd be if you didn't know what day you were born. When he rides up on his horse and you feel that cold, bitter wind, look out your window and smile. Don't let that old man in. Look out your window.